Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I said edition. I'm Eric Horn. I'm at Chesapeake Energy Arena with Maddie Lee after the Thunder's 120-111 win over the Portland Trailblazers. Maddie, I've been watching this Thunder team for 4 years, and my memories of 2015-16 are starting to fade a little bit. Kevin Durant was here. He was very good at basketball. The Thunder was very good at basketball. But this version of the Thunder, clearly the closest iteration we've seen to that, to the Kevin Durant teams, not only because of the talent, but I think the camaraderie of this group, which we saw tonight, post-game, during the game, even this weekend, following the Alex Abrines, the waving of Alex Abrines, they come out tonight, and I don't think the score tonight was as indicative of how much of a gap there was between the Thunder and the Blazers. I thought the Thunder played harder. I thought the Thunder played with more passion. And I thought even though they went through the third quarter and they struggled to score, they played for each other and with each other more than the Blazers did. And you're starting to see kind of the makings of this, of what could be something special with this team. I picked this team to pick to lose under 50 games. They're definitely going to win more than 50 games, barring a complete collapse, barring an injury of some sort, knock on wood. They're too talented. They're too cohesive. They've got too much chemistry right now, and I think that you saw it tonight through your two main players, Paul George and Russell Westbrook, the way they played for each other and with each other. And we got to witness something really cool that you don't get to see very often.
Yeah, we've been absolutely spoiled the past two nights. We had
absolutely spoiled the past two nights. I wasn't nights in Houston. Games.
Yeah, that was great. Okay, I've been absolutely spoiled the past two games. First, you have an amazing comeback in Houston. And then tonight, so much history. You have Paul George and Russell Westbrook becoming the first teammates in Thunder history to have triple doubles on the same night. You have Russell Westbrook recording his 10th straight, which is insane. We've talked about that, but we talked about it when he tied Wilt Chamberlain's record. Now he has it on his own Hall of Fame career already, and he's still got so much to do. And we saw the Thunder beat the Trailblazers for the third time this season. That's not historical, but last year they got swept by them.
Yeah, it's amazing how much has changed in a year with this team. That they just look like completely different teams when they played against the Trailblazers. And, you know, Paul George is a big part of that. Terrence Ferguson's development is a massive part of that. But because to be able to defend Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, you know, and chase them around, and the kind of work that Terrence Ferguson has to do, and all the work he has to do. And then look, he gets 3 early fouls tonight, but this team is deeper than last year. They're more talented in the starting lineup. They're more talented coming off the bench, but they have more resolve. Like it's just a team in a better mental state than they were last season. And it's because, you know, you get another year of continuity, yes, you get more talent, but these guys are playing for each other more, and you can see it in the way that they're responding to adversity. You know, you get Alex Abrines that gets waived. You have a night where you come into tonight and Jeremy Grant doesn't play because he has the ankle sprain from the Houston game, and Dennis Schroeder misses the game for personal reasons, which we suspect are not the same personal reasons to the extent of an Alex Abrines. This is something that might have to deal with pregnancy.
He posted on his Instagram story, it said, what, special day?
Special day with a baby.
And then a bunch of emojis, including a baby emoji. Make whatever inferences you want.
I feel a lot better, put it this way, with the conversations we've had around the arena tonight with people, I feel a lot better speculating about Dennis Schroeder having a pregnancy in his life than I did about anything having to do with Alex Abrines, which I will continue to not speculate about. Okay, so you're missing two key players to your team coming into a game against
a
really good team.
Your sixth man.
Yeah. who's essentially your, you know, a starter himself.
And a closer.
And to me, I don't, I mean, aside from a few minutes in the, you know, the stretch where the Blazers come back in the third quarter, and then a few minutes in the fourth where the Thunder's kind of, let's say what it was, they were stat chasing because Russell's trying to get that last assist. And
trying to get that last assist for Paul.
And trying to get Paul the last assist. Aside from those moments, I think the Thunder was in complete control of this game. They played a wonderful defensive game on McCollum and the other guy who can't think of, Damian Lillard, who's an all-star. And I think it's just amazing that these guys are able to plug in other guys to beat teams of this caliber. And we're going to talk about Raymond Felton and Deonte Burton, certainly.
The thing about the Blazers' little comeback, though, is when we've gotten really on the Thunder about letting teams get back into games, it's been because of their defense slipping. In that stretch, their offense really wasn't there. And that's fine for the Thunder. You're going to miss shots. But when you put on a defensive performance like they did, when you look at the game as a whole, you're fine with that. And they come back and they win it.
Yeah, I didn't even necessarily think that the defense was awful in the third quarter. I thought their offense was
right.
off.
They stopped making shots. And for the Thunder, when you let teams get back into games, you want it to be because of your offense, not because of your defense, if that makes sense.
No, totally. And they defended in a way tonight that I thought looked like they were super engaged in this game. There was none of this Nurkic slip and pick and roll stuff going to the basket. They were on their rotations. They were – when a guard got past a guy, Russell Westbrook didn't quit on the play. He continued to chase Damian Lillard down and get that block from behind. There was no lack of effort on the Thunder's part on defense, and they needed that.
And you saw a lot of guys do a lot of good jobs on two very good scoring guards.
Including Raymond Felton.
Yeah.
Big yawn. Couldn't talk while I was yawning. just gonna let me sit there.
I wanted to just roast you so that everyone would hear the awkward silence and be like, oh God, what's Eric doing?
Yawning. Raymond Felton. This guy hadn't played in 20 games, and he comes out and puts up what, 15 points?
15 points
on 10 shots.
And the Blazers kept leaving him open on the perimeter, and he was just draining threes. Have Russell cutting towards his basket. Defense would collapse. Raymond Felton's left wide open, just ready.
Catch and shoot Raymond Felton is good Raymond Felton. That's the better Raymond Felton.
Yeah, when we've seen him get into trouble is when he's jacking a bunch of pull-up threes.
Yeah, pull-up stuff in general. The long twos, the pull-up threes. We saw him in shoot-around today. He's the guy who won the shooting contest between him and Paul George and Russell Westbrook. Not the first time we've seen Raymond Felton do such a thing going around the world from the three-point line. Tonight, even more impressive to me than his offense, you know, he plays 21 minutes and he plays really good defense, not just on Damian Lillard. There were times where he's able to play good post defense against Evan Turner. He's not getting back cut. There was a situation where he reads the backdoor pass, and Raymond Felton is notorious for getting back cut on. He's a step late on those sometimes. And he reads that, gets on the floor, gets a steal. I thought Raymond Felton, he blew my mind considering that he hadn't played in more than a month.
Even if he had played in the past month and a half, that was still an impressive performance. I mean, and this is a veteran guy. This is his 14th year in the league.
Yes.
He knows how to play basketball. It's not going to go away. But this is also one of the best performances we've seen from him all season, and that came off of 20. It's hard not to get rusty. Like, I say he's not going to forget how to play basketball. He's not, but it's hard to go for that long. And he's not, you know, he's not going to get like charity minutes with the Blue or charity minutes at the end of a game. Because when you're a veteran at that point, like, that's just, you don't need that. You don't need to be that rookie who comes in garbage time and gets his minutes in. Like, he's beyond that. And so he legitimately just has been sitting there.
You can look at this two ways for Raymond Felton. I'm looking at his game logs right now. He's played, he played 20 minutes tonight, 21 minutes. Basically, that was the only time that he played in a month. He hadn't played in 20 games. His last game was December 30th against Dallas. You can go back even further than that. Before tonight, he played a combined 23 minutes in 2 months. So he played more tonight than he had in the 2 months prior.
He gets his season high.
And I liked his answer. You liked his answer after the game, too, talking about having to play after not playing for however long. And he said it's tough. Like, it's not like this guy's in, like, peak condition. I mean, he hasn't been in peak condition for quite some time. But for him to be thrown into a game like this against two all-star caliber guards and play the way that he played, you're not going to get this from Raymond Felton for 21 minutes going into the playoffs every night. But for him to do it tonight, I thought was particularly special because of the type of players he was going against. And you could exclude what he did offensively and just look at the defensive side of what Raymond Felton did tonight. And I thought that kind of encapsulated the way that the Thunder played and the way that they've played for majority of the season when it comes to their defense. And it was impressive. You know, it was impressive for them to get that from Raymond Felton on short notice.
I think a lot of that has to do with he's a really smart basketball player, and his teammates will tell you when he's on the bench for those 20 games, he's picking out little tiny things that they're doing, maybe a step late, maybe a step early, and pulling guys aside. Billy Donovan said that he did this with Jeremy Grant when he went 0-for-5 in Houston, picking up these little things that they probably don't even feel, but he's noticing, pulling them aside, giving them pointers, helping them make that adjustment mid-game. And he said, you know, doing that has given him something to do for those 20 games, so he's not just, you know, sitting there rotting, and that helps.
Yeah, I think Raymond Felton's going to end up being a coach whenever he finishes. And look, he might have 4 or 5 more years in the league as just a guy that fills that role as basically a coach in waiting, or, you know, that one of those last few guys on the bench that can be a mentor to guys. But no, he's talked about it. He said that, you know, he may get into coaching someday. That's something that he wants to do, but he's not thinking about hanging it up just yet. I think he'd be perfect for the Thunder organization in some capacity. And they've shown that, you know, they like to keep guys who have played on the team involved in the organization, whether it's a scouting role, whether it's getting in with the Blue and then working your way up to the Thunder team as they did with Royal Ivy. You know, they've got Nick Collison involved with community stuff now. Nazi Muhammad's in the front office. I think a place will be here for Raymond Felton when he's done because of the relationships he's built with Paul George and Russell Westbrook, and just because he's smart. Like you said, he's just a smart guy who knows basketball, and he's a good character guy who's invaluable to this team right now. I think that's another reason why it was easier for Nick Collison to retire now, because they have a Raymond Felton. Like, they have that kind of guy.
That's a good point.
That's going to kind of fill that role. But, hell, Nick Collison was barely coming in doing the minutes that Raymond Felton did tonight in his last year. Good stuff from Raymond Felton tonight. They needed it. And how about your man Deontay Burton?
Oh, my gosh. He made a case for himself tonight.
Is he making some money? Is Deontay Burton making some money right now?
I mean, he's shooting for that. I don't know if he's thinking about this that way, but if you're looking at that open spot and being like, if I put on some good performances, maybe I could get it, it's a good place to start. I think the biggest compliment that Billy Donovan could give him that he did was he was like, I played him too much. He played 26 minutes. He was like, but I just didn't want to take him off the floor.
Yeah, and look, he deserved to be out there. He's deserved to be out there the last two games. He earned it with his play in the second half against Houston. And tonight he did so many good things. The cuts, just shooting the three-pointer the way he did to start, heat check. finishing against contact, which we didn't see from him earlier in the season. I think we saw some instances where he wasn't good finishing against Conte. His defense has come a long way. He gets a couple blocks tonight, similar to the way that Russell Westbrook does, you know, chasing down the play from behind once the guard gets past him, not quitting on the play. I think you've seen some really mature performances from Deontay Burton in the last five quarters. This is a guy who looks like he belongs. I don't know if he's going to play in the playoffs. I would imagine not once the rotation's shortened. But this is a guy who's, you know, he's on his way to getting his contract converted because he's a cheaper option than going out and getting a buyout guy. And that's not to say the Thunder shouldn't go get a buyout guy if a certain person comes available that they think fits with this group.
But it depends on who.
Yeah, it depends, really on, depends who. On who. You're not going to go pay Zach Randolph however much money to – or even Enes Kanter for that matter. I know a lot of people love Enes Kanter, but he doesn't fit the way that this team plays right now.
And you got to find a guy who wants to come here and is fine with playing 10 to 15, if you're lucky, minutes.
Because again, this was a unique night for both Raymond Felton and Deontay Burton that Dennis Schroeder wasn't available. Jeremy Grant wasn't available. You know, in those instances that they can fill in those spot minutes, you know, Deontay Burton's done a great job these past two games. Raymond Felton, out of nowhere, great job. But that's not going to last until the playoffs. But, you know, for these last 30 games or so, however many games we have left, 27, 26, something like that.
I have no idea.
Those guys are valuable. Deontay Burton is making himself some money, and I think he's a guy who could possibly earn a contract because of the smart things he did tonight and the development we've seen from him from the beginning of the season to now. He looks so much better and so much more confident in what he's doing compared to where he did previously in the season and the little bit we saw of him.
I think the thing about him early in the season was he wasn't consistent. Because you'd see moments when he was finishing through contact, and you're like, wow, how do you stop this kid? He's like a bowling ball going through there. And then you'd see him just like absolutely not finish through contact at all, get knocked off, toss the ball somewhere. And now you're seeing him get down more consistently. And Billy Donovan said post-game that what he appreciates so much about him is how coachable he is. And, you know, he got some work in this morning. They knew that Jeremy Grant wasn't going to be available tonight. Got him a little extra work at shoot-around. And, yeah, he fit right in. Yeah, he had a heat check. He was hitting threes so well that he took a really deep three and missed it, and I asked him about it, and he was like, that was a good shot. I didn't realize a heat check until afterwards.
No.
He's fun. I like his post-game comments.
He's a good dude. And I'm happy for him, you know, considering he was a guy who was in Korea last year at this time. Coming as far as he has and being patient, you know, going through the Blue system. And look, the Thunder does a great job of bringing guys through the Blue and developing them there. I think Hamidou Diallo is a guy we're going to see come back post All-Star break and still be a contributor to this team in some way. But no, Deontay Burton is a success story already. Even if he doesn't get his contract converted, I think it's been great to see how far he's come this season in the time that he's been with the Blue and the Thunder. So good for him, and look, good for the Thunder too, because they got a player. That guy's going to play, whether it's here or somewhere else, is he's going to play for somebody because he's got talent, and he's still kind of just scratching the surface of, you know, kind of being a consistent player.
And he's put in a ton of work, both like mechanics, you know, the development that we just talked about with getting to the rim, but also like he lost a bunch of weight, he's slimmed down. He's doing everything that the Thunder and the Blue ask him to and doing it quickly.
I was stunned when I saw – well, I wouldn't say – I was medium shocked when I saw the Thunder tweet out that this was the first time that two teammates have ever had a triple-double in the same game in Thunder history. I would have sworn that Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook would have done that at some point in time. But this was the first
Apparently
time.
Apparently not.
Unless the Thunder is just lying to us and just spreading propaganda all over the internet.
I guess when it comes down to it, you're only taking so many shots in the game. And so to have two guys have double-digit assists is probably where the it's the hardest, you know.
You better keep talking while I type this.
Whereas, you know, obvious points, rebounds, there's enough of those to go around. But it took until late in the fourth quarter for Paul George to get his last assist. It was actually, I mean, when you're talking about those two guys and their chemistry and their development, it's a neat thing that they each made the shot for the other guy that got him the triple-double. And Paul George talked about that post-game. First talked about how Russell actually brought it up to him that he was on the cusp of getting a triple-double. He goes ahead and sinks that three. And then he was asked if he knew that that he was making the shot that would get Russ's 10th straight triple-double for the history. And he was like, no, I didn't. Because usually he's got his triple-double secured by the first quarter.
Yeah, it was good post-game from Westbrook and Paul George and some really candid stuff, I think, from Westbrook in particular, who can be a little bit's an understatement. He can be a little callous in post game sometimes and short, but I think he understood the significance of tonight, not just for himself, but for Paul too, you know, taking time with our questions and kind of giving some thoughtful answers to how this team is working right now and the chemistry that they have. And he said, look, this isn't some thing that's forced. Like, it's not forced that we have this kind of chemistry that we have. You know, you can see in the postgame locker room him and Paul George and Raymond Felton just sitting around just laughing about just whatever they were laughing about. But they take time to talk to each other and laugh. And every time some guy walks out of the locker room, they're making some silly noise or acknowledging somebody leaving. It's a group that is clearly enjoying playing with each other. And, of course, you enjoy playing with each other when you're winning. But even when this group, you know, has a bad night, it's not like these guys are, you know, running away from each other or trying to run to get away from being around each other. They seem to legitimately be enjoying the experience of playing together. And Westbrook said it, like, this didn't take long for him and Paul George to get this thing together. Like, from last season, you know, the chemistry came pretty quickly. And I think you're seeing kind of you're getting close to a point to where these guys are in perfect, you know, they're in perfect harmony with each other on the floor. They're working for each other. They're working off the ball for each other. They're getting each other the ball in great spots. And look, the Thunder's playing really well. And that helps your chemistry too. When you're just playing good, when you're playing good ball, it helps for people to be more happy when you're just playing really well. But I think that the chemistry off the court plays a lot into why this team is playing so particularly well, even when guys go out of the lineup, even when guys get lost for the season. It goes a long way.
We heard just today both Nerlens Noel and Raymond Felton say that this is one of the best locker rooms that they've ever been a part of. And I think Nerlens even acknowledged, like, it helps when you win. But beyond that, there's so many more instances that we can bring up where you just see them goofing around and having a good time. And
Maddie wants to write about it, so she's not going to tell y'all. She's not going to tell y'all all the cool stuff she saw.
Fine, tell on me.
I'm not going to tell the story because you caught a great story, so I'm not going to tell it. I'm going to let you write it. It's going to be awesome because y'all need to go to newsok.com and obviously read our work. But
I'll let you guys know when I actually pull the trigger and
please do.
And do that one. But yeah, I mean, Russ also got asked about Alex Abrines tonight, and he said that he still is in contact with Alex. Obviously, we haven't been able to talk to Alex to confirm that, but he said he's still in contact with him and, you know, still very much wants to be supportive of him, and he's still one of his brothers. And that's just, I think that describes the team pretty well.
No, and look, that starts with Westbrook. And I know people a couple people got on me about being hard on Westbrook after the last game. Like, look, I'm not critical of him as a person. I think he's a tremendous teammate, and I think he's tremendous with those guys. Like, he's one of the best. I think the whole nonsense of him being a bad teammate, I don't know where that came from. I don't know how that was perpetuated. I think
didn't
a lot
that
of
come from Kevin leaving.
Well, I think a lot of people. Yeah, I think there was a report. Yeah, I take that back. I know where that came from. There was a report of you know, when Kevin left, that, you know, Kevin wasn't happy playing with Russell, and that's fine, that's well, but that's Kevin's deal. Like, that doesn't mean that somebody else wouldn't be happy playing with Russell. And I think you've seen over the past couple of seasons, you know, every time a guy leaves, they speak highly of Russell Westbrook. Now, whether they're afraid of Russell or they like legitimately like think the world of Russell, you know, that's something that maybe we'll never know. But I think a lot of guys really do think highly of Russell Westbrook, and the whole concept of him not being a good teammate, I think, is utterly ridiculous, because you've seen how much Paul George has gravitated toward this guy in the last 2 years.
Paul had a good quote the other day where he was saying, like,
Yeah, I'll say it on the mic. But
that when you're on an opposing team, that's what people see. But when you're his teammate, it's completely different.
Yeah, when you're on Russell Westbrook's team, he rides for you, and he rides for his teammates.
He seemed like, obviously, I don't know him nearly as well as most other people here. Certainly, anyone in that locker room. But he strikes me as one of the most loyal people I've met, and someone who like really values loyalty.
He's big on loyalty. He's big on loyalty. He's big on his word. He's big on loyalty. He's what you call the Tony Montana of the NBA. All he has is his what have yous and his word. And but Russell Westbrook, I think, is an excellent teammate. I think that you've seen that through Paul George. You've seen that through, you know, the way he takes young players under his wing, whether it's Domantas Sabonis, Terrence Ferguson, working with those guys when they need the extra work, building their confidence. And he had a great quote about Paul George tonight, saying that it's his job, it's Westbrook's job to challenge him, to challenge Paul George. And when Paul George is playing the way that he is, it's hard to beat us. And to me, like, that goes so far beyond just – like tonight's game. That's Russell Westbrook understanding that, like, they need Paul George to be the way he is now throughout the entire season in order for them to be great. And you know what that means? That means Russell Westbrook pulling back. That means Russell Westbrook giving Paul George, you know, that number one status, so to speak. Like, I think Russell Westbrook is like acutely aware of where this thing is right now.
I could see him too. Like, I talked about him mentioning to Paul that he was about to have a triple-double. I think that's part of him challenging him. Like, get this assist, you know? Do it.
Try it. M83, great song.
And Paul said, it was nice to be on the other end of a triple-double.
No, and it's nice to see Russell be able to challenge somebody and they respond in that way. I think that, you know, in the past, you know, in the season where Russell was here, and I'm not going to say by himself, but the post Kevin Durant season, he had Victor Oladipo, and I think Victor Oladipo kind of struggled with that. I think at times he arose to the challenge, but at times it was difficult for him because he was making a transition to playing with Russ. But now you see Victor Oladipo's moved on to a new team. He's got a new body. He got himself into tremendous shape going into his second season with the Thunder. I think he was ready to come back and be a really, you know, strong player for them. Not that he wasn't a strong player in his first season, but you always thought there was a little bit more that you could get out of Victor Oladipo. And he had a good first season with the Thunder. But he goes to Indiana, and he just becomes a star. And I think, you know, people have talked about this before. Victor Oladipo learned so much from playing with Russell Westbrook. And I think part of that is Russell Westbrook challenging you to be a better player, whether it's in your work habits or your in-game focus or what you're capable of doing. And I think that, you know, Russell Westbrook is getting the most out of Paul George. We've never seen Paul George play this way before. He's had teams that were talented in the East. We've never seen Paul George take it to this level. We've never seen Paul George just – the way that he started the game tonight, there haven't been many instances this season or since I've been covering the team where I've seen a pl- player have that kind of control of a game with that much ease. That movie put on Al Farouq Aminu where he just – the step back three.
Oh, that was – he was – if you were going to do one of those, like, dumb meme things where someone spins out and goes, like, around the world, that's exactly what –
He just blows up possessions by himself on defense. He gets mad because he doesn't get a foul call, but instead of sulking back, he gets back on defense and just steals the ball from Aminu. Like, he's a player in a spot where he's in rare control of the game, and it's really a privilege to watch. We've seen Westbrook go on tears like this before. I've seen Kevin Durant do this before. And now it's Paul George, and it's really special, and I think that people should appreciate it. And I think that Russell Westbrook has an appreciation for it too, because he's allowing this team to be kind of, you know, particularly on the offensive end, kind of be molded more in the rhythm of Paul George more so than his.
Every single time we go to a new city, some reporter from that city asks Billy Donovan about Paul George and Russell playing together, and what's different this year. And a lot of times he just has to say the same thing. But I think the most interesting thing that I've heard him say, amid some of, you know, a lot of the, he's more comfortable with this group and that, this, that, and the other, is in Boston he was talking about how when Paul was traded, he was using that summer to get ready for a season in the East. And he, as opposed to this season, he knew what he needed to do in the weight room and all that leading into a season with Russ, a season with the pace that...
He looks slimmer this year. Yeah. He definitely looks slimmer.
And Billy said that he did drop weight because it sounded like, at least the way that Billy Donovan described it, preparing for the East... more lifting, essentially. Preparing for this season, you're preparing for a team that's all about, that does really, scores really well in transition and has one of the fastest paces in the league.
It parallels the Victor Oladipo situation. It really does. Because when Victor Oladipo got here, you would look at him and be like, yeah, he looks like he's in pretty good shape. And then that next summer that he was going to come back, he dropped a ton of weight. Right after, like in the first month of the offseason, he dropped a ton of weight and the picture started popping up on Instagram. And you're like, oh, that's what a guy who's in shape looks like. Like, you thought Victor Oladipo was in shape, but then he did his work and you're like, oh, that's shape. Okay, that's Russell Westbrook's shape. And I think that's kind of what – I think that's similar to what Paul George did in his offseason. It's a different kind of shape. And the Thunder, look, they're playing at a faster pace this year. They're getting up more shots. That's kind of the game plan. They're trying to get more out in transition and get more shots up, and so they can give themselves a better chance of success. More shots equals more offensive rebounds, equals more opportunities to score. And you got to do that when you're not, you know, just this elite half-court offense. But we've seen the Thunder play some great half-court offense in the past, you know, month and a half. But, no, these guys are clicking, man. And I think a large part of it is Russell Westbrook's influence. Even though he's still not shooting well, I don't know if he ever will shoot well this season. That's still a problem. He's doing a lot of other things to make this team go. And certainly, if you could measure off-court impact, I think Russell Westbrook's would be very, very high on the list.
If you want to read more about that, tune in to newsok.com, where this morning, or last night,
Maddie
what's
Lee,
today?
In Monday's Oklahoman,
there was a story about that very topic. Crazy.
Your broadcaster voice kind of turned on there. You're kind of like, I don't know, some radio guy or something.
That's me, just a radio guy.
Oh my god. It's getting late, obviously. Paul George, a lot of milestones tonight. Paul George actually fell a point shy of tying his career high. I thought he was going to get it. And crazily enough, when the game started, I turned to Jenny Carlson, and I'm like, he's going to get 50 tonight. And I think he had whatever he had and whatever, however much time, maybe like 15 points on like five shots or something ridiculous. And I was like, he's getting 50 tonight. And he didn't get 50, but, you know, 47 is not bad. 47 is not bad. One more game until the break. To New Orleans, where the Pelicans are a team that's in, I guess you could, I guess it's safe to call it disarray.
Yeah, that feels.
With the Anthony Davis situation and him accurate. Basically being forced to play by the NBA. The NBA is doing the Pelicans no favors in this regard, because basically their future and their biggest asset is being forced to play games, and yet they're pulling him in the fourth quarter or not playing him in the fourth quarter, to where it's kind of like it's kind of like catnip. You're like teasing the cat, and you're like, oh yeah, yeah, you can have it. No, and you pull it back. It's like, yo, like, just don't play the guy. Like, just sit him down. So the Thunder's got to deal with that. They can go for their 12th win in 13 games. They should win that game. They're playing better than the Pelicans. They're a better team than the Pelicans. You got to watch for that kind of pre-All-Star malaise when you're going into a game like that. You don't know if you're going to have Jeremy Grant or Dennis Schroeder. It might be a situation where you just need Jeremy Grant to kind of just rest up, get a full week, and just get treatment. And then Schroeder,
his ankle was definitely looking swollen today.
Yeah. And then if you do indeed have Dennis Schroeder and his, and his significant other having a baby, you might just want to just let him cool out and deal with that. So it might be a situation where we see some more Deonte Burton on Thursday night in New Orleans.
I wouldn't be opposed to that.
I wouldn't be opposed to that either. I'll be watching from Charlotte, actually. I'm going to fly out to Charlotte early in the morning and get there early for the All-Star break. And then
I'll be there. Killed it.
Are you singing and radioing tonight? Man. I hope the people get in your mentions like they got in mine. And I hope it's worse, because
for singing?
I feel like my podcasting about Westbrook's turnovers and shots was more valid than you singing and radioing.
Hey, no one said anything about me quoting baby Damian Lillard
dropping dimes
in the last podcast. So I think my
I don't mean to
Jackson
boast, but
5 rendition is going
to
be.
I don't mean to boast, but I'm dropping dimes from coast to coast.
I'm going to laugh if they get in your mentions.
Damian Lillard was not dropping dimes. We didn't talk enough about that before we leave. Thunder did a tremendous job on those two tonight. I think they went 12 of 42 or 11 of 42 combined on CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. Raymond Felton, Terrence Ferguson, Russell Westbrook, all did a tremendous job on those guys tonight. Now Maddie's yawning. Let's get out of here. Big win for the Thunder. Big weekend. Well, actually, this wasn't the weekend, but big two games in a row for the Thunder. Maybe the best.
There's no such thing as weekends during NBA season.
Weekends don't exist. I think probably the best two games you've seen from the Thunder. Not a great first half against the Rockets, but the last six quarters, pretty strong. Pretty strong from the Thunder, considering the circumstances and the stakes. You had to get these Western Conference games against two teams that are, below you in the standings. The Thunder goes a full four games ahead of Portland. And look, they win the season series before even getting to the fourth game. And as we said before, this is a team in Portland that swept the Thunder last year. And the Thunder looked mentally tougher than them, physically tougher than them. They pushed Portland around tonight. And Portland is not a team that's usually to be pushed around. They're a good rebounding team. They made Nurkic look small tonight. They pushed him around. They got him in foul trouble. That doesn't happen very often. Nurkic is a guy who gets his against Steven Adams, and Steven Adams didn't beat him statistically tonight, but he pushed Nurkic around and he made Nurkic frustrated. So I think the Thunder has certainly asserted its dominance over Portland this season and turned it completely around for where it was last year. So good win, great win for the Thunder.
Good night.
Good night, Maddie.
Good win and good night.
And good night. And good night, Thunder Buddies listeners. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing on Apple Podcasts. Make sure to share on Apple Podcasts. Share with your family, friends.
If you do, I promise I won't sing anymore.
That's a promise. And February 14th is Valentine's Day. So make sure to give the podcast on Thursday when we have a new one. And we will see you after New Orleans.